with race leader Norris, who had lost the lead at the start, regained it on lap 13, I believe, from Sainz, who had drafted him down the long front straight, staying out on slick tires essentially one lap too long. I don't think anybody could have, in Lando's position, would have pitted, giving the race lead over to Hamilton and the Mercedes five laps from the finish.
Let me just say that, first of all, it was wonderful to see a Ferrari lead a Formula One race. I really was grinning like a Cheshire cat. It was a wonderful sight. We haven't seen it for a while. Good old Carlos, he was really going for it. And okay, he got overtaken after a while, but still, Ferrari was leading and the Tifosi loved it.
Welcome to the Forza F1 podcast. I'm Aaron Jenkins, the editor of Forza Magazine, and with me, as always, is Andrew Frankel, Forza's Formula One editor. The Russian Grand Prix isn't known for exciting races, and it's also an event that Mercedes has won every single time it's been run, dating back to 1913. This year, though, one of those expectations was completely foiled, and the other very nearly so, in what was probably the most nail-biting Grand Prix we've seen this season. Lewis Hamilton took the race lead and then the win in the final few laps. Max Verstappen finished second after starting dead last, and Ferrari's Carlos Sainz scored his third podium finish for the team. Andrew, before anything else, let's look at Hamilton's unprecedented 100th Grand Prix win. I think Jim Clark, back in the 1960s, still holds the records for winning percentage because there were far fewer races then compared to now. But as you and I discussed when Schumacher left Ferrari in 2006, how could anyone possibly beat his unheard-of 91 victories? And now, Hamilton's broken the ton.
You know, some people like Lewis, some people don't like Lewis, but you cannot not admire his achievement. I was there at his very first victory in Montreal in 2007, and it took him quite a long time. In fact, even this year, he hadn't won a race since Silverstone, and he's been dreaming about this 100, and I think the team have been carrying around various sort of materials saying Lewis 100, and they've been taking it from race to race to race, and finally it came true. I think it's quite incredible. He's been known to win in sunshine. He's been known to win in the rain. A couple of years ago at Silverstone, he came in on three tires. The fourth one was, you know, deflated and about to fall off. So the guy is a fighter. And, you know, it all started way, way back when he was already winning in go-karts. And I was there at the Grosvenor House in London when at age 12, he went up to Ron Dennis, boss of McLaren, and said, "Please, mister, will you give me a job? I will win championships for you." And Ron Dennis was a little bit surprised, but he said, "Okay, well, I'll sign you up." And the rest is history.
Yeah, and recently we've seen photos of a teenage or younger George Russell along with Hamilton back in 2008. So that trend sort of continues. Hamilton looked up to Ayrton Senna when he was a kid, and now today's Formula One drivers are looking up to Hamilton, even though Hamilton is still at the front of the field and potentially winning a record-breaking eighth world championship this year.
Yes, I personally think that he may just give it another 2 years. He would love to clinch the eighth title, which again would be a record. He would love to clinch it at the end of this season rather than having to fight all over again next season. I can see him in 22. I can see him in 23. In all honesty, I can't see him beyond that. He's doing so many things. He's composing music. He's very much into fashion. He's got all sorts of interests outside Formula One. And, of course, that will give all these young bloods, the Russells, you know, and the Norrises of this world, a clear field. And I think it's going to be fascinating because I honestly think that Alonso will be gone in a couple of years. Vettel will be gone. Kimi is going. So the golden oldies are slowly leaving and leaving it to these tremendously successful young guys such as Verstappen, such as Lando, such as George. And I'm really, really looking forward to all these guys carrying on the excitement. I can't see any of them. Let me stick my neck out now. It's very easy. I can't see any of them getting to 100 anytime soon. If you think in terms of Verstappen, he would have to win every single race for 5 years to get to 100. And you know, and I know that it's not going to happen.
Well, I think we would have said the same thing about Hamilton winning potentially six world championships in 7 years when the turbo hybrid era rolled along. But do you think that's what it takes? A team and a car that completely overwhelms the entire field for years on end in order for somebody else to challenge this record?
It would have to, again, I mean, let's be honest, some of these 100 victories were given. Some of these were in a car 1.5 seconds quicker, better than anybody else. So some of the 100 could have been won by half the grid. The other, let's say 50, would have needed Hamilton's brilliance, such as what he's been doing in the rain and the perseverance and the guts and so on and so forth. I would hate to take anything away from him. My personal criticism is that he doesn't stick to motor racing. I don't agree with some of the things he says outside, but again, who am I to tell him what to say or what to do?
I think you and I have always disagreed about that. I think that if Hamilton, his interests outside of Formula One, if Hamilton wants to go off and do music, do fashion, I don't know, shoot pool and drink beer, none of that matters as long as he shows up and delivers. And I can't think of a single time that he hasn't shown up at the track and been 100% on, and most of the time for the past decade, won the race.
Yes, this is true. It's one of those on which you and I will probably never agree, but it doesn't matter. You have your opinion, I have mine, he has his, and, you know, long live the Queen.
Okay, back to Russia. There was all sorts of strategy at play all weekend, with Verstappen taking a new engine and the resulting grid penalties at a circuit where Red Bull didn't expect to be fighting for a win. Mercedes' Valtteri Bottas also got a new engine, kind of mysteriously, which dropped him back in the field to just in front of Verstappen, where I think we all expected he would attempt to slow him down. But everything came down to the weather, and we saw the first signs of that in Q3 when the weather suddenly cleared up and there was a switch over to slicks, and we got the very unusual pole position by McLaren's Lando Norris, followed by Ferrari's Carlos Sainz, and in third place, Williams' George Russell. Hamilton was down in fourth, and all of a sudden, Red Bull's strategy to start Verstappen at the back didn't quite look as good. And then during the race today, the weather went the other way, changing from dry to wet in the final handful of laps. And once again, strategy and tires came into play with race leader Norris, who had lost the lead at the start, regained it on lap 13, I believe, from Sainz, who had drafted him down the long front straight, staying out on slick tires essentially one lap too long and one lap after Hamilton pitted from second place and came out to take the win. Clearly, McLaren, in hindsight, made the wrong call, and Norris himself said he was the one who decided to stay out. But from any reasonable position, I don't think anybody could have, in Lando's position, would have pitted, giving the race lead over to Hamilton and the Mercedes 5 laps from the finish.
Let me just say that, first of all, it was wonderful to see a Ferrari lead a Formula One race. I really was grinning like a Cheshire cat. It was a wonderful sight. We haven't seen it for a while. Good old Carlos, he was really going for it. And okay, he got overtaken after a while, but still, Ferrari was leading and the Tifosi loved it. As far as the weather is concerned, I think the explanation is terribly simple. All teams have meteorologists, or rather a fancy word, if you like, rain spotters. And I would suggest that Red Bull's train, not much trainers, rain spotters, and Mercedes rain spotters were better at their jobs than they said, come in. And first Lewis said no. And then they said, come in, and this is an order. And Lewis then obeyed, and he won the race. Verstappen didn't have to be told. They just said, come in, it's the best thing for you. In he went and ended up second. And as he said, he was a very, very happy boy. It never crossed his mind, starting from the back, that he would be on the podium. I can understand Norris's frustration and, you know, living in England, being an Englishman, being used to the rain. He thought maybe he could just do it on slicks. But in the end, all his skills were for, you know, it just didn't happen. And by the time he came in, it was far too late. The team should have insisted that he came in, and he probably would have won the race. But you know what? He's clearly a huge talent, and sooner or later, he will win a Formula One race. I have no doubt whatsoever.
The 7,000-plus members of the Ferrari Club of America, the world's largest Ferrari club, enjoy exciting track events, an internationally recognized concours d'elegance, and a wide variety of year-round social activities. The members of our 16 active regions and 52 chapters throughout the US and Canada also receive our monthly news bulletin, plus Prancing Horse, our full-color quarterly magazine. Our tremendous program of membership benefits even includes discounts at authorized Ferrari dealerships and selected retailers. So join today. Visit us online now at FerrariClubOfAmerica.org.
Yeah, he's had an absolutely brilliant season, and I think it's absolutely fair play for the driver to reject the team's orders if things don't feel right on the track. As you mentioned, Hamilton refused the first time they told him to come in, and then the team said, no, we mean it. The rain is going to come harder, and Hamilton pitted. McLaren never gave Lando that second piece of information, or maybe they didn't know it. So from Lando's perspective, it was the logical thing to do. And like we both agree, he is clearly a talent. And had he been given a chance, he might have been able to beat Ricciardo at Monza last weekend. But he was told to maintain position and ensure that the team got the 1-2 instead of potentially taking each other out.
Yes, I agree. But I agree with what you've said earlier. I like so many millions of others, I really was on the edge of my seat wondering whether Hamilton's gamble will pay off. I mean, the way he went off back in onto the circuit, like a scalded cat, he really was going for it. And it was amazing to see the speeds. Bearing in mind, he couldn't see very much either, but at least he had slightly better tires. It really was high drama. And Formula One Grand Prix racing at its best.
Oh yeah, I think there have been a number of, and there have been a number of times we've said that this season. We all thought, with the rules staying the same for 2021, that we would just be having a repeat of 2020, and that has not at all turned out to be the case. And not only because Red Bull seems to have gotten on par, or maybe a little bit ahead of Mercedes, but up and down the field, we're seeing some great battles, including McLaren versus Ferrari.
Yes, unfortunately, as far as we are concerned, right now McLaren has 234 points and our boys only have 216 and a half. But it could change in Turkey. Ferrari have been known to do very well in Turkey. I remember clearly when Felipe Massa won in Turkey. So let's keep our fingers crossed. It would be wonderful to finish third behind Mercedes and Red Bull. Right now, the team is fourth, but it's still an awful lot better than last year when they were sixth.
Oh, absolutely. It's a different season entirely. And I thought it was interesting today. We talked about Sainz taking the lead at the start, leading the race like we haven't seen for a while. And he lasted 10 or 13 laps. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on that at the moment. But I thought he was going to be a sitting duck throughout the race because he was essentially being flanked by Mercedes-powered cars and Red Bull-powered cars. But the Ferrari was, he hung on to that second place for a very long time. And that must have been a very cheering sign for the team. And he had an aggressive strategy, tire strategy to switch onto the hard tires. But then Ferrari made the perfect call with him, calling him in for the switch to inters at the end. And that propelled him comfortably back up to third place, whereas Sergio Perez of Red Bull, had gotten by him a few laps earlier on a different strategy. But while Sainz made the perfect call, Leclerc, like Norris, unfortunately, made the wrong call, stayed out a little too long, and his run from, he started 19th, I believe he was up to 5th, he fell way back down the order because, like Norris, he found himself on slicks in the rain, and it was game over for him.
Yes, absolutely. One bright note for someone, nothing to do with Ferrari, of course, was Kimi Raikkonen's 8th place. And let's not forget that Kimi has had COVID. He wasn't able to race in the last two races. He's also announced that he's retiring at the end of the season. But the way he was driving today, it didn't look like a guy who's about to retire. Coming in 8th in the Alfa, I thought it was a tremendous achievement.
So as you mentioned, the Turkish Grand Prix comes next. And as you mentioned, Ferrari has done well there in the past. It was a race that was off the calendar for many years, came back last year, and Lewis Hamilton won it after starting 6th. So as we've mentioned many times before, Hamilton seems able to win no matter where he starts on the grid. But looking back at this season as a whole, it just is becoming more and more difficult to make predictions about any given race. It seems that, you know, we predicted a comfortable Mercedes 1-2 here in Russia, and while the one came to pass, nobody could have ever predicted the way that everything went down. Do you have any predictions for Turkey?
No, but what is fascinating, if I look at the charts, previous recent winners, Gasly in the AlphaTauri and Ocon in the Alpine, they are both recent winners, and today they finished 13th and 14th. So it's impossible to predict. I honestly think that Lando Norris will be up there at, or you know, near the front. You cannot discount Lewis. You cannot discount Max. The fact there are only 2 points between them, of course, is perfect for the championship. I think we should just sit back and enjoy. Speaking for myself, I'm terribly excited about the US Grand Prix, which comes after Turkey. It's a total sellout. Awful lot of people are desperate to find flights and rooms. And it's so wonderful that it's returning to the United States. Furthermore, next year in May, there'll be a race in Miami as well. So for us living in the United States, this is very good news indeed.
And I think for all of us watching Formula One this year, I wanted to return to a point that you made earlier. The older generation of world champions, Alonso, Hamilton, Vettel, Raikkonen, is going to be disappearing soon.
Absolutely.
And I guess Daniel Ricciardo will at that point be the oldest. So he'll be part of the older generation. He's clearly older than Leclerc and Verstappen and Norris. We're going to go from having a dozen or more world championships represented on the grid within the space of a couple of years, we might be down to one or two. It's going to be a completely different world from what we see out there today. And that's, I think we forget how remarkable it is to be watching right now when there's this much talent and this much success out there. And all of a sudden, it'll be a series of driven by youngsters.
Yes, yes. And I've just come back from Europe, and I understand from real fanatical fans that this survival, you know, this F1, you know, the series by Netflix has generated so much interest that the numbers of people watching, young people watching, is absolutely phenomenal. So we're going to have millions of youngsters watching, millions of youngsters racing. And it's terrific. I think it's wonderful.
That's it for this episode of the Forza F1 podcast. Next up in 2 weeks, the Turkish Grand Prix.
Thanks for listening this week. If you like the podcast, check out our website, forzamag.com. That's forza-mag.com, where you can subscribe to our newsletter for the latest Ferrari news and reviews. You can follow us on social media at Forza Mag, forzamag, no hyphen.